Good afternoon and welcome to eBible Fellowship Sunday Afternoon Bible Study. Today is study number 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to read in 2 Thessalonians 1 beginning in verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And I'll stop reading there. Now, we've been going through this book of 2 Thessalonians in a couple of Sundays, and we're continuing to look at what God has to say here and to make sure that we search everything out that pertains, that has to do with his end time program. And here we find a passage in which God is describing the Lord Jesus being revealed from heaven. And that would identify with Judgment Day. Now in verse 6, the Lord says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And yes, God's judgment is a righteous thing. Now the word righteous is also at times translated as just. It is a just judgment. We read in Romans chapter 2 in verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now there again, God is rendering. He is recompensing. The law of God is being satisfied. The justice of God is being met. And so God's judgment day is a righteous thing. And that's the judgment that we've been witnessing since God began judging at the house of God, when judgment began back in 1988, and the church age came to an end, and the Lord visited the churches and congregations of the world with his wrath, and he removed his Holy Spirit. That was a righteous thing, because they had been unfaithful. They had rebelled against the commandments of God. And after 23 full years, on May 21 in the year 2011, when God transitioned from exclusively judging the churches to judging the world, that also was a righteous thing. It is a righteous judgment of God. It is just. He has found man guilty of transgressing his law, and the wages of this transgression, the Bible tells us, is death. And so God is bringing death upon the world. When he shut the door to heaven, it really brought in a period of time that completely identifies with death. This day of judgment will probably last for 1600 days, and throughout this period of time, death is prevalent. Death is everywhere spiritually. And God has begun the judgment process, and it will conclude with the complete annihilation of all the unsaved with their death, their final second death. And it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. This is the reason God is giving for bringing judgment, as he is really speaking to his people, his true believers, who have been enduring persecutions and tribulations in the world as they have suffered for the kingdom of heaven. And so God is saying, look, it's a righteous thing with himself to recompense tribulation to those that trouble you. For instance, in Romans chapter 12, we read there in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That means, as the Bible tells us, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. The perfect and exact judgment of God, as he metes out his justice, will be had. God will have vengeance. He will repay those that have sinned against him. And this is what is meant by recompensing tribulation to them that trouble you. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read in beginning in verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Notice in verse 30, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. Now we shouldn't read these without noticing that God is encouraging us to, commanding us to not involve ourselves in vengeance, not to seek vengeance, not to take vengeance on others, but to leave that act of vengeance with him. Allow God to take care of any that have been troubling us, that have been bringing affliction or tribulation into our life for the sake of the gospel. Just leave it with him. You know, this word trouble, let's just look at this for a little bit before we continue on looking at vengeance. There's an interesting couple of verses in the book of 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we read of Ahab, who was king of Israel, wicked king. His wife was Jezebel, and of Elijah, who was a true prophet of the Lord. And in 1 Kings 18, in verse 17, it says there, and it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now, this really gives us good insight into the mindset of the wicked, into the mindset of the professing Christian who's not a actual Christian. He's not born again in heart. He looks upon the true believer who brings sometimes very difficult news, very hard things, as Elijah was used of God to speak of a drought to, as it says, let's just look and see why Ahab is making this kind of statement. In the epistle of James, we read in James chapter 5 in verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This is what Ahab is referring to, that he blames Elijah for this lack of rain for this long period of time, 3.5 years. And yet, of course, this is of God. This is the doing of God, the action of God. And the believer only, relays what God has done. We're messengers. We only can speak what God directs us to speak. And oftentimes the things that God has his people speak have to do with his wrath and judgment. And this is perceived by the wicked who identify with God and yet are not truly of him, like Ahab, as though the child of God is troubling the people. And this is why Ahab says to him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? But notice the response in verse 18. And he answered, this is Elijah, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of Jehovah, and thou hast followed Balaam. You see, let's look at this in our modern terms. Let's up-to-date this to the time of the Great Tribulation. And God opens the scriptures and he reveals to his people that the church age has ended, that the Holy Spirit has departed from the midst of the congregations, and that Satan's spirit has entered in. And of course, God's people are moved to share these things, to declare that there's a famine of hearing within the churches, that there is no water, no true water of the gospel found there. And individuals within the congregations, they hear this and they look at these people who dare to say such things. And certainly they say, you are troubling Israel, troubling the people of God, troubling the house of God. And yet what is the facts of the situation? In reality, the judgment of God came because the churches and congregations were unfaithful. They were not diligent for the truth. They did not teach the word of God as it should have been taught. They taught their own doctrines. They elevated their confessions and their creeds above the teachings of the scriptures. And in reality, they troubled Israel. They troubled the house of God. They troubled the people of God, because their rebellion has brought the wrath of God upon them. And God's people are only sharing from the word of God, which comes from the mouth of God, as he is the source, what God has done in response. And yet this is how the child of God is viewed. And it's the same thing today, as we live in the day of judgment and true believers are sharing things that are being opened up from the word of God, the Bible, that it is the day of wrath, the day of the fierce anger of God upon the world, the day that he has shut the door to heaven and put out the gospel lights all over the earth, and people look at the true believers who share these things and they say, you are troubling the people. You are troubling the poor people of the world. No, we're not troubling. They have brought the trouble upon themselves. They have sinned against God. And God has recompensed their sins. That's what judgment is. It is the recompense. It is the repaying of wrongdoing. And that's what our verses is referring to in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. It is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now let's go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 50, and we'll see this very thing being carried out in Jeremiah 50 verse 14. It says, put yourselves in array against Babylon round about. And Babylon is the nation that God uses to picture the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of this world. And in Jeremiah 50 and 51, Babylon is fallen. It is picturing the judgment of God against the world in the day of judgment. What's going on right now in our present time. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow. Shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she has sinned against Jehovah. Shout against her round about. She has given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down. For it is the vengeance of Jehovah. Take vengeance upon her as she has done, do unto her. Notice again, it is recompensing. It is the paying of the wrongs that the world has committed. And God is exacting his vengeance. And further along in this chapter, in verses 28 and 29, it says, the voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, that would be the elect. They're the only ones spiritually that have come out of Babylon. They've gone to their own land spiritually when they became saved, the kingdom of heaven. To declare in Zion the vengeance of Jehovah, our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow. Camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she has done. Do unto her, for she has been proud against Jehovah, against the Holy One of Israel. Now, God is calling for recompense against Babylon. And notice the reason that he gives. He wants his people, because this is referring to the voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon. Remember in Revelation 18, God says, come out of her, my people. And this is referring to the people of God, the elect. He wants them to declare in Zion. And what is Zion? Zion is the body of believers. It is New Jerusalem, as Zion is a synonym for Jerusalem. And so, as God's people have all come together and have entered into the city of God, that this is, of course, done spiritually. We're still here on the earth presently, but we are a part of spiritual New Jerusalem, of Zion, and therefore declare in Zion the vengeance of Jehovah our God, the vengeance of his temple. Now, why does God say that? That the judgment upon Babylon is for the vengeance of his temple. Because the temple is pointing to the churches and congregations. And just as historically, Babylon came against Jerusalem and destroyed the holy temple that Solomon had built. They literally, very physically, destroyed the temple. They cast down the stones. They burned it with fire. It was a literal destruction of the temple by the Babylonians. And then the Jews were taken into captivity. Well, that destruction of the temple by the Babylonians points to the judgment of the churches as God used Satan and his emissaries, as Satan is likened to the king of Babylon, or the king of Babylon is likened to him, and he rules over Babylon, the kingdom of this world, and it really was the world infiltrating the church that brought about the complete destruction of the corporate church. And so God is saying here that even though God is the one that loosed Satan in order to actually carry out this work, it was according to the will and purpose of God as he utilized him to bring about the spiritual destruction of the church during the Great Tribulation, yet that was all evil doing on the part of Satan and on the part of those aligned with him. All the tares, all the wicked that entered into the churches, that destroyed it by perverting the true gospel of the Bible, by adding and subtracting to the word of God and just numerous other ways. It even though God allowed these things by lifting his hand of restraint and allowing Satan to do what comes naturally to him, which is to destroy, and by allowing Satan finally his chief desire of being seated in the temple, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, as the man of sin, to show himself that he is God, and of course that's all sinful. That's all rebellion on his part, as he arrogantly, pridefully thinks that he is God or like God. And God is recompensing the sins of Satan and those involved with the takeover of the church and the destruction of the church. God is holding them accountable for their sins in that activity, and that's why he says it is the vengeance of Jehovah our God, the vengeance of his temple. Now this thought is carried a little bit further in the next chapter of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 51, it says in verse 6, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of Jehovah's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." And also in verse 11, "Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. Jehovah has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of his temple." Now, one other note as we see this phrase repeated here, the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of his temple. First of all, Satan had to carry out the destruction of the temple. He had to destroy it first before God can respond with his vengeance. Well, of course, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that this is further confirmation that Babylon, as we read about it here in Jeremiah 50 and 51 or in Revelation chapter 18, in the day of its fall, is not describing God's judgment on the churches, but God's judgment on the world. And that's because that this is a response of God. It is a recompense for Satan's involvement and his kingdom's involvement for the destruction of the church. And therefore the church first had to be judged, first had to experience the destructive actions of the evil one and those align with him. They first had to have Gog and Magog come against them in order for God to respond by bringing judgment on Babylon, on the world, for the reason of the destruction of his temple. It is the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of his temple. You have destroyed my temple, my church, in the day when judgment began at the house of God. And now that period of judgment is over. My wrath has been poured out upon the churches and congregations. And now I turn my attention to you who did these awful things, who zealously rejoiced in this great wickedness of trampling upon the word of God within the churches and congregations. I now bring vengeance upon you, and I am repaying you for what you have done. Notice it says in verse 33 of Jeremiah 51, "For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a dragon. He has filled his belly with my delicates. He has cast me out." Now notice God is saying that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who represents Satan, has done all these things to him, devoured, crushed, and made him an empty vessel, and swallowed him up like a dragon, and so forth. And that's because, remember, Jesus said, "What you have done unto these my brethren, ye have done unto me." And Nebuchadnezzar did it to Judah historically, and Satan did it to the church, where there were professed and true believers, and so God is taking it very personally. And again, even though the Lord himself arranged for this by the loosing of Satan, and he allowed Satan to accomplish these things, which in turn accomplished God's purpose and will, yet that is no excuse. It's sort of like when God lifts his hand of restraint upon an individual man or woman, and that man or woman, like Pharaoh, hardens his heart and sins against God. Well, it's not God's fault. God's not responsible for Pharaoh's hard heart and his sinfulness. Yes, God knew exactly and perfectly what would happen, and in the things that happen, it brought glory to God ultimately, and it was part of the Lord's design, but it was all Pharaoh's fault. It was all his sin, and he paid the penalty himself for his sin as he died in the Red Sea. The wages of sin is death. And likewise, God arranged for Satan to come against the churches at the time of the end, but that doesn't excuse it. That doesn't allow Satan to get away with all of his iniquities and wickedness that he has done as he destroyed the churches and congregations of the world. No. And that's what God is saying here in verse 35 of Jeremiah 51. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea, and make her springs dry, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. That is, God is again indicating that the vengeance is being poured out, that his wrath is being poured out and vengeance taken for what Babylon has done against his holy people. And notice God does make reference to his flesh. The violence done to me and to my flesh. Now there's a tie-in here with something we read in 1 Corinthians 5 that is interesting, and it explains this statement. In Jeremiah 51, in 1 Corinthians 5, we read of a man that had his father's wife, committed fornication with her, and the Apostle Paul is moved to pronounce a judgment as a result. Now, this is all describing, to summarize it, because we don't have time to get into the statements and to show how one having his father's wife really is indicating someone who is in line for the birthright but loses it, like Reuben. He committed this particular sin, and as a result, he lost his birthright as the firstborn. And this is what has happened to the church. They lost their blessing of salvation because they were involved in this particular sin spiritually. Well, anyway, we want to look at the judgment as the one who have his father's wife who committed fornication is a type of the New Testament church. And it says in verse 3, for I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now this it really makes no sense if you try to understand it just literally. Here someone is being cast out of the church and being delivered to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirit might be delivered? No, that doesn't make much sense. Of course, people try to reason, well, it's just talking of church discipline and the individual is to return to the congregation. That's the hope after experiencing this severe penalty. Well, then they weren't delivered to the destruction of the flesh if they return. No, this is referring to the church, and in the church we have the wheat and the tares. And the wheat are those that are truly saved. They're in the spirit. And the tares are not saved. Therefore, they are carnal. They are fleshly. They are earthly. And there comes a time, due to the sins of the church, which the sin of this individual with his father's wife spiritually points to this, that God delivers the church, the corporate church, which is the flesh, the unsaved, but they're in the flesh and not in the spirit, to Satan for their destruction. And Satan, again, goes about and accomplishes this purpose, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And we know exactly how God worked this out, as he commanded his people to come out of her, to flee to the mountains, and not experience the judgment of God upon the churches. Well, this is the reference God is making in Jeremiah 51 when he says in verse 35, the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. Shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea? Shall Jerusalem say? And God is indicating again that this is a response. It is a recompense. The judgment on Babylon is being done after the judgment first on the house of God. Actually, these verses are very clear, and with everything else we know of Babylon and how God likens Babylon to the world in Isaiah chapter 13, and how God historically brought about the judgment of Babylon after the 70-year period in which Judea was brought into captivity and Jerusalem was destroyed, that the destruction of Babylon occurred at the end of the 70 years, and the 70 years typified the length of time of the Great Tribulation. Therefore, at the end of the Great Tribulation, Babylon is judged. The world is judged after the judgment on the church. The Bible has locked this in. There's no question about this, that God, when he refers to Babylon's fall, is speaking of the day of wrath, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment on the whole world. Well, let's go to Revelation 18. We'll see how Revelation 18 just picks up the language that we were reading in Jeremiah 50 and 51. It says in verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. Now, what does God mean? Here we see this recompense language, reward her even as she rewarded you. And again, that relates back to Babylon brought judgment, or the Babylonians came in judgment on Judah. Satan and his emissaries came against the church, and the third part, as a result, were judged. Remember, that's what Revelation chapter 8 tells us again and again and again. It says in Revelation 8, verse 7, at the end of the verse, the third part of trees was burned up. And then in verse 8, towards the end of that verse, and the third part of the sea became blood. And verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And on and on and on it goes. The third part of the rivers, the third part of the waters, the third part of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and so on. The third part was darkened. The third part, judgment falls on the third part. That this is when judgment began at the house of God. The true believers were in the churches at that time, completely identified with the church, And the third part is a reference God makes. You can read in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, to the elect. The elect are brought through the fire. The third part is purified as gold and silver, and they are the children of God. And again, the church was identified as the third part due to this association with the true believers in the churches and congregations, and therefore God speaks of judgment which began at the house of God as a judgment upon the third part. And also we find in Revelation chapter 14, it says in verse 18, Revelation 13, 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. 666. And 666 is we could say, two-thirds, as the third part would be 333. And 666 is double that of 333. The two-thirds is double of one-third. And so when God is saying in Revelation 18, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. First, the cup of the wrath of God, according to what we read in Jeremiah chapter 25, was given to the people called by God's name, to the church. Then God takes the same cup, the identical cup, and he says to the nations that if he brought judgment upon those called by his name, will they be utterly unpunished? No, they will not be utterly unpunished, but they will likewise drink of the cup of the wrath of God, and he gives them the cup, and they drink. Now God figuratively likens the people of the world, the unsaved inhabitants of the earth, to 666, which is a double figure of 333. He likens them to two-thirds, which is double to one-third. And again, this is further confirmation that the judgment on Babylon is the judgment on the two-thirds, on the world, and not on the one-third. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. Now, figuratively again, twice the people, two-thirds of the people, drink of the cup that was first given to one-third. And this is due to the revenging, to the recompensing of God for those that have offended and dared to come against individuals called by his name, whether they were true believers or not. They still identified with God and identified with his kingdom, and there's no excuse for that. Well, let's look at one more thing before we go back to Second Thessalonians, or actually before we end our study today, and that is the language of the Bible that refers to a year of vengeance. In Isaiah chapter 34, it says in verse 8, for it is the day of Jehovah's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Now, again, we have a similar statement to the judgment beginning, or the judgment being poured out upon Babylon. Again and again, God said it had to do with the vengeance of his temple. And this is referring to a day of Jehovah's vengeance and year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion, that is, concerning the matter of Zion, or Jerusalem, concerning his people. And God speaks of a year of recompenses as well as calling it a day of Jehovah's vengeance. And we wonder, well, how can God do that? And how can we understand that? We understand the reference to a day of vengeance. It's judgment day, singular. And it's God's privilege to speak of a prolonged period of time, which he is doing when he speaks of judgment day. He can have a very long period of time in view. As Hebrews chapter 3 teaches us, the Lord refers to Israel during its wilderness sojourn as being in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And then he says that they were there for 40 years. So he refers to a day of temptation and yet explains it lasted for 40 years. And likewise, the day of judgment is a prolonged period of time. There's a good possibility that it may continue for 1600 days, and every day throughout that period is known or identified as Judgment Day. May 21, 2011 began Judgment Day. May 22, 2011 continued Judgment Day. So did June 2011 and July and December. And May 21, 2012 was Judgment Day. Our present time, this day, is Judgment Day, and so on. It's all likened to a single day. It is the day of the Lord. And the Bible allows for that. There's biblical precedent for God doing that. Well, why does God also say in the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion? Well, we find, now notice it doesn't say for the vengeance of Zion, but rather the controversy of Zion. And that is concerning Zion, that everything is related to Zion. The whole year of recompenses, this time of vengeance, has to do with Zion. And we realize that the judgment on the churches and congregations also had to do with Zion, with the people of God, as the churches and congregations were not teaching faithfully, and this was injuring and spiritually harming God's people within the churches of the world. And so God brought about the judgment on them, and it was all concerning Zion. And then, after utilizing Satan and his forces to bring about that judgment, the Lord turned his wrath upon Babylon, Satan's kingdom of this world, concerning Zion. It's the vengeance of his temple. The whole year of recompenses involves Zion. We read, for instance, in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 20. Luke 21 and verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And in these verses, God is clearly speaking of the judgment on the corporate body of the churches that are referred to as Judea, or the type and figure God is using is of Judah, but it spiritually is pointing to the New Testament church at the time of the end. And he goes on to describe the judgment upon them, and he refers to it as the days of vengeance, which we understand now because the Lord is using this figure in Isaiah 34 of the year of recompenses, the year of vengeance. God's vengeance began on the church for their unfaithfulness when the church age ended and judgment began at the house of God, May 21, 1988. God's vengeance began and was poured out on the world for their unfaithfulness on May 21, 2011. It is a spiritual year of recompense. But why a year? Well, it so happens that God refers to the Great Tribulation period using several periods of time, different periods of time. 70 years that Judah was involved with Babylonian captivity had to do with the Great Tribulation. God uses 70 years as a type and figure of the Great Tribulation. The 7-year famine in the days of Joseph also is a figure of the Great Tribulation. And there is a 7-month figure of time in the book of 1 Samuel when the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines and was in their hands for 7 months. 7 months is a figure of the Great Tribulation. Now God takes that figure, 7 months, which represents the whole Great Tribulation period, which turned out to be an actual 23 years, and he takes the figure found in Revelation chapter 9 of 5 months, where it says in Revelation 9:5, "And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man." This figure of time of 5 months is a figure God uses to describe the entire period of Judgment Day. Judgment Day, which is much longer than 5 months, as 1600 days works out to 4 years, 4 months, and 16 days. It's much longer than 5 months, but spiritually, there is a 5-month identification with Judgment Day on the world, like there was a 7-month identification with Judgment Day on the church. And when we put the two periods of time together, the 7-month figure for the period of the judging of the churches and the 5-month figure for the period of the judging of the whole world, we come up with 12 months. And 12 months is a year. Every year has 12 months in it. And yet this whole period of time is a time of the vengeance of God. And this is why Isaiah 34 refers to the year of recompense. It is the year of vengeance. God is completing now his vengeance upon unsaved mankind. And after we arrive at 10,000 days, there's a good probability that it will be complete, as that number 10,000 points to completeness in the Bible. And the law of God will be satisfied. The vengeance will have been completed and accomplished, and then this world will be destroyed.